Vito on 88FM and streaming worldwide via our apps. This is the voice of Bolito Radio, Life and Style. It's now 9:30 on Thursday, the 8th of May, and time for another edition of Uncensored with Penny Faree, brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.
Good morning to all our listeners, and welcome to another episode of Uncensored, the show that examines the key issues affecting our region. In recent weeks, we've highlighted the ongoing electricity crisis that has crippled our region, plunging Kwadukuza Municipality into a financial tailspin and raising real fears of the municipality being placed under administration. Unscheduled power outages have cost the local economy millions, impacting thousands of households and threatening the survival of small and medium-sized businesses. On January the 10th, following the unprecedented blackouts that plagued the region, the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association reached out to the National Energy Regulator of South Africa, or NERSA, calling for urgent intervention. Compounding the persistent outages, the municipality has also failed to get to grips with its energy losses, amounting to more than 400 million in the current financial year. Yesterday, DOCRA met with NERSA to press for urgent intervention and lay out their concerns. Joining me in the studio today to unpack yesterday's NERSA meeting are two members of DOCRA's Executive Committee, Flip Hellberg, Vice Chair of the Dolphin Coast Residents and Ratepayers Association. Flip also sits on the Ward 6 Committee, serves on the Bolito Neighbourhood Watch, and chairs DOCRA's Electrical Portfolio Committee. With an electrical engineering background, he brings hands-on expertise in power infrastructure. Brian Pottinger, Harvard University Fellow, former Sunday Times editor, and author of 8 books on politics and governance, also sits on DOCRA's Executive Committee. His decades of investigative journalism add depth to our discussion on accountability and energy policy. Gentlemen, welcome to Uncensored.
Thank you, Penny, and thanks very much for the invitation.
Yeah, this discussion is so important. As of right now, there are households in Bolito that are going on to day 6 without power. Brian, let me start with you. Who represented NERSA at yesterday's meeting, and what were the key points on DOCRA's agenda?
NERSA sent down a very big team. They sent 6 people down, there was actually a lot of representation from the municipality as well, including the speaker, head of the electricity department, chief financial officer. And then we had a good team with six of us, and I think nicely balanced between the technical people and then the guys who were dealing more with the kind of administrative and legislative stuff. So it was a very full and frank discussion, if I can use the cliches. I think we have made some progress there. We are very grateful to NERSA, who responded so quickly, and have put their audit team in, which the audit begins today. And we're looking forward to the outcome of that audit.
Okay. What was the single most urgent issue that DOCRA placed on the table? And why was it so critical to address that first?
Well, you could take a list of 20, but
yeah.
Okay.
Let's start with the first one.
Okay, the first one is the massive energy losses, yes, which is a huge problem because that leads straight to bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Bankruptcy, you're pretty much on a real problems about how you can fix anything.
Yeah.
So that was very much first on the agenda. Subsidiary to that, of course, was the fact lack of communication from KDM. That was thrashed out, I think, to our satisfaction. Thirdly was how do we maintain forward communication with KDM in a satisfactory forum that has sustainability. And then fourthly, and this is Flip's area, so I'm not even going to go into that, were all the technical issues which arose.
Yeah.
And there were some very, very good ideas and contributions which flowed from our technical colleagues as to what should be done and where we should look at the energy losses. And at the moment, one of the big culprits that's popping up is a whole question of bulk meterage.
Yeah,
how that can be done, and Flip's the guy to talk about that.
And you know, since they brought up the losses, 400 million, and they've escalated. We were looking at figures from 2016 to the current year. It's just astronomical and unsustainable because almost more than 50% of Kwadukuza Municipality's financial budget on expenditure comes from sales of electricity, and that money is bleeding down the drain. And we've looked at the numbers, and we've seen how this year, if this isn't curtailed, we are going to face bankruptcy. Now, Flip, I was under the impression, you know, when they're banding these figures around, I thought it's a illegal shack who puts a connection onto a pole and steals electricity. This is what's causing it. And then when this whole thing started getting unpacked, we looked at corporate espionage. There's a lot of corporates that are actually stealing electricity. And I've spoken to an electricity expert, a forensic guy, and he's given some indication that there are people that bypass the meters that are possibly also in collusions with staff, alleged staff in the municipality who write off the accounts, who are basically stealing hundreds of thousands of rands of electricity per month. And the meters are also a problem. How is this factoring into this whole loss at the moment, Flip?
Hi, Penny, and morning to all the listeners. Yes, thank you. And the person you're referring to, Eric Bott, which also joined us at the NERSA meeting, and yeah. DOCRA uses him as a consultant. DOCRA uses anybody that we can on the expertise.
And he's got a wealth of experience as a forensic electrical auditor.
Absolutely, and yeah. I think the speaker from KDM,
Dolly Govender, is that
right? Auntie Dolly, as I call her. Yeah. She was very grateful to Eric's input regarding the meter and the meter losses. So yes, the stealing of electricity from illegal connections are there, and it surely has an impact, but it is not nearly on what has been uncovered by the, and also now what NERSA is going to be doing, and with our assistance we will be pointing them in the right directions on where to investigate, where to look at meters that has been a bypassed, where the meter installations has not been done correctly. There was proof even presented to Mr. Jolly at in the meeting of one or two of the cases that we've uncovered.
Yeah.
So yes, it's definitely people just think they can steal electricity, yeah, or not pay for the service, mm-hmm. And unfortunately there are some names that I'm shocked to hear that of businesses that are involved with this.
And what about the staff? I mean, you can't turn around a meter or be involved in meter fraud if there isn't someone else on the other side that's manipulating the system as well. Is that going to be also be brought to the table and possibly investigated? A department that could have individuals working in cahoots with this?
Definitely. Yeah. There are definitely some questionable actions that will be investigated. Again, we're very thankful NERSA is here to do the audit, and we trust that they will be doing it at all levels, from the meter installer to the accountant who actually has to capture these and values, and mm-hmm. the whole lot in between.
So NERSA is actually going to be auditing each of these departments as well?
Oh, NERSA will definitely audit all of these, and then we'll present a report. And we're looking forward on the report and the actions that will
Was there a deadline to this audit? Because, I don't mean to be the voice of gloom and doom, but you hear so many from government and so many task teams that have been put together that have been actioned. I mean, we just look at the Zondo Commission, 3 years, massive investigation, everything came through and nothing was done. I just want to know, does NERSA have teeth to take this and hold individuals accountable inside the municipality? I'm putting it to both you or Flip. Well, Brian?
Maybe I can just kick off. In terms of timelines, yes, there's a very specific legislative timeline in various phases. The investigation is for a month, then there's processes internally, then it has to go and get signed off, then it has to be presented to KDM, and there's a process of engagement there, and then finally it's... So I'm not looking this happening tomorrow.
Okay, are we looking at possibly this year?
I would sincerely expect so. I would hope that within at least 2 months or so, we should be having something formal. But here comes the kicker, is that this goes to KDM, and it's entirely up to KDM whether it releases it or not.
Releases what?
The report, the audit report.
So can't we as public demand that the report be made public?
Yes, we can, but we've been demanding and getting very little. So what I'm saying is that here is going to be the acid test of the commitments we received yesterday for transparency.
Okay.
And if that report is not released by KDM, we will know that everything they said to NERSA yesterday was false. And then they must account not just to us, but they must account to NERSA. And there's an important issue which I'd like to quickly raise. It came up and it's very interesting, and the NERSA people kept saying, we've been following a process up to now with municipalities of what we call corrective action. In other words, guys, you're not cutting it, fix it up, please.
Yeah.
They're now moving to an assertive role by establishing tribunals whereby municipalities that are in breach of their license agreement can be summoned to a tribunal. Very different thing to a polite little inquiry or a mediation as we had yesterday. So NERSA itself is moving towards a more proactive role. Let's hope it works.
Yeah. Has there been an example of this in other municipalities that have faced similar action?
There's been audits continuously. Yeah. I mean, they do audits all the time.
And what comes out of these audits?
Well, mainly, and this was made clear to us as well, ultimately, all the municipalities operate under license. A very simple little, I've got a copy of it here, very simple little six-page, seven-page document. If they're in breach of that license, then NERSA can technically and theoretically withdraw their license.
Yeah.
But they don't do that, because if you withdraw license from a functioning entity or sort of functioning, what do you replace it with?
Mm-hmm.
And there's no legislative framework yet for something effective to replace it. So basically, it's not much of a threat.
You know, I asked this question to Eric. I put this question to Eric when I had a meeting with him. I said, what happens if the municipality is failing so badly in providing electricity to its consumers, to its customers, that the consumers then go directly to Eskom? Is that allowed? And he said to me, it could possibly happen, but then what happens? Because the municipality relies on electricity sales to function, you know, as a municipality's revenue is 52% of Kwadukuza derives its revenue from electricity sales. So if that is taken away, then where do they get the money to continue, you know, providing the services? So it's a catch 22. So, I've parked that on. What do you flip? I know at the public meeting, Adam Schlali, Executive Director of Electrical Engineering, Mr. Jolly, he presented a plan on how they were going to bring the 400 million losses under, you know, control. And DOCRA was very, with the CEO of DOCRA, Mary, she was very vocal in asking the municipality of a thorough and precise plan on how are they going to deal with electricity losses. And Jolly was in the studio recently, and he said that there was a task team that was going to be put together, and they went through a few steps. And the last I heard, that the task team still has not been put together because they haven't got the people, so they're going to be bringing in expertise. They still have to advertise for those positions. Are you confident that this could possibly change things around for Kwadukuza Municipality?
Oh, I believe, definitely. And I think the MTAS teams has been formed. There are actually two MTAS teams, one with the Elembe Chamber. And KDM is participant of that task team. And I think NERSA was very pleased in the meeting to hear that's the way we're going forward, and that we will... that KDM can tap into all the expertise that has been presented and all the assistance that businesses wants to put forth on solving all the issues that we do have. I don't want to disclose all the plans they do have, because it's still in planning phases, but the people are really wanting to make the system work, and this is what we're here for. We appear, and it was also said in our meeting, you know, that we appear to be opposition. No, but we are here to make things work. It is to all of our interest.
Okay, I just want to bring in DOCRA also. You know, when you when DOCRA urgently approached NERSA, they'd also send requests to KDM, power requests, seeking the following. So for our listeners who are not familiar with this term, a power request is, in short, a request under the Promotion of Access to Information Act. And under the Constitution, it allows individuals to access information held by public and private bodies in South Africa, and they must do so within 30 days. So any existing recorded information in possession or control of the public or private bodies can be requested. So one of the items DOCRA requested was copies of all independent audits done on the KDM electrical infrastructure in the past 10 years and their responses to these audits. And I saw that DOCRA said that in the past, NERSA has done two audits. Do you know about these audits?
The last audit they did was 10 years ago, and then there was one prior to that, which I'm not fully aware of.
And did they give you the results of it?
You know, just coming back to those points on the pie, and then just quickly some other issues which arose, which we were very pleased about. The pie request we sent through was precisely that, but it also asked for things like maintenance schedules and a whole lot of other documentation so that we could test whether KDM was actually meeting its license requirements. We got answers, but in some cases, full answers. In other cases, they were half answers. In some cases, I would actually say they were diversionary answers.
Yeah, like give me an example.
For example, we asked for, I mean, Flip's much better than this because, you know, we asked for certain maintenance schedules for particular assets. So we get a report that was done last year by an external contractor, and it's looking at particular assets and giving a, supposedly an assessment and report. We get the lists of all the assets that looked at, and the last four pages, which is the assessment of them, is not there.
Yeah,
you see what I mean by diversionary. Yeah. So that's just one example. There are many others. But the positive that came out of the meeting yesterday is that in front of NERSA, we made these claims. We had a whole list which Flip and the team had drawn up of where they'd failed in terms of answering those. And that came as a big surprise to the speaker. And she did give us, in the meeting and afterwards to me privately, she said, we'll fix this gap in terms of the. Now, they are compelled to give us that. And they've undertaken to give it to us soon. And if they don't, they have to answer to NERSA. So that was good. But can I come back to the other issue of these working groups which have been set up?
Yes. And those weren't set up by KDM. Those were set up by public bodies. I know when we had the Chamber of Commerce here, Lembe Chamber of Commerce, a few weeks ago, they said, following the outages over the December holidays where businesses had been crippled, they put together a task team which involved, I mean, you guys were part of that task team as well. Yes. They said DOCRA has been involved. Even the political parties have said DOCRA has been pulled. Mm. It almost seems like DOCRA is pulling these task teams together or working with working groups, you know, to get stuff done. And now, where are we at with these task teams? So I know, you know, I've just been reading chatter on all these social groups, and it's the same thing. Everyone is calling, okay, for an audit. This is what you've done. You want an audit of the infrastructure where it currently stands, where it has failed, and what are the steps moving forward. Okay, so they haven't, you know, they haven't been very forthcoming with information. You've approached NERSA. NERSA is now doing an audit. And this is almost the final, you know, this is the hill where we die on. If this doesn't work, what are our options?
No, we cannot not succeed. We will just have to succeed. And I think everybody is positive on that, and especially on the task team. Yes, DOCRA has got representatives on these task teams, experts that we can't all be everywhere. So we've got a person there that will give us feedback to the electrical division of the DOCRA committee, and the information goes backwards forwards and see where we can assist and just go forward.
Can I say on that, the two positives that came out, additional positives, one is that we got an undertaking from KDM that these task teams, which at the moment have been involved in emergency let's fix it and get it back on the road stuff, they gave a commitment they're going to be tabling in the future what we've all been asking for and the task teams have been asking for: long-term maintenance schedules, long-term capital investment. They've undertaken to do that. So that's important so that we can move those groups forward. But secondly, one of the issues that we'd hoped to get NERSA to agree to was an alteration to the license agreement to establish a legally embedded group compelling KDM to engage precisely the stakeholders they're engaging now.
Yeah. It's more like an oversight watchdog group. Is that what you mean?
And that's what we were looking for, is somebody, not a grace and favor agreement where KDM could terminate tomorrow, but something that had sustainability. So NERSA said to us, no, there's no provision for that. But there is a provision in the Electricity Act for creating something called an end user forum, which is made up of KDM and end users. Hey, that's us.
Yeah.
And that now has a embedded statutory authority.
What authority does it have? It's
recognized. Now, the actual terms and things has to be negotiated.
Yes, yes.
The first step is to apply to the regulator to appoint it, and then there's a debate in that process of what the powers are. What we would push for is actually just giving more teeth and then just kind of migrating these task teams from being their kind of emergency fill in because of the complete collapse of the system because of KDM's monstrous neglect of our systems.
And financial mismanagement.
And the fish. Now we can take it to a higher level of continuous obligatory engagement.
Yeah.
That's where we're kind of trying to head. But the basis has been laid by these task teams who've done fantastic work.
Yeah, Philip, I just want to bring you in here. You highlighted at the public meeting the infrastructure, the old aging infrastructure, one of the Imbonini plant where the line, you said there was water spilling out of it over, when it actually went down. Can you just quickly give me feedback on it and what you raised at that meeting?
Okay, well, firstly, I try to be a little bit comical, if that's the right word, and say to Mr. Jolly that it should actually patent this fact that you can transport water through electrical cable, because the video I saw, I actually questioned it. I couldn't believe the video that was going around showing water literally flowing out of an electrical cable that was cut open. It was just unbelievable. Let's just talk about Imbonini, which was the only point I really tried to focus on at the public meeting. There is one cable, and Mr. Jolly admitted then on his reply back to that, that cable is 15 years old. You've got one cable feeding between Imbonini and Sharker's Scroll. How can you just have one cable? And if it's already 15 years old and it's aging and it could be faults, to me, a system is designed with a backup line.
Yeah.
So there should be it should have been a second line already, plus there should be a second line feeding to the next substation to be able to form a ring feed should there be a problem like we have experienced. Now I'm not totally I don't have an electrical engineering degree, but my experience that I have had wherever I've been to, there's always a backup for a backup for a backup.
Yeah.
That does not exist in this line. And Mr. Jolly said this cable was installed 15 years ago by a developer, and so yes, in 15 years' time, you couldn't think of installing a second line.
And 15 years ago, we were a little horse town, little beach village.
Oh, absolutely.
Which has grown substantially. And I look at the RDPs, the plans for the future, the growth. These have been predicted like 10 years in advance. I went back 5 years ago and they're saying how this town has grown so substantially. We've seen the growth. Everyone has migrated to the North Coast and our capacity has increased. And Brian, you brought up a very valid point. When you said this whole industrial park by Sharker said that it's gone up, where is it being fed? Which grid is it coming off, the electricity grid? You put that question to...
Flip will correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it comes from Imbonini, because that serves the business parks.
Yeah.
And the difficulty is, of course, that substation itself was supposed to be upgraded before the development of North Point. Now, that hasn't happened. They're doing it now, scrambling to do it.
Yeah.
Can I come back to another issue which was raised from the question of administration, is that even if a cable now is gone, surely you have backup and you have store. No, you order. If a substation, surely you plan for it to be replaced or a transformer to be bought. No, you seem to wait for it to break, and then you wait eight months or something to get a new one in. Now, that's not planning.
Yeah.
And that's what I think a core issue is that NERSA is going to look at. Where's your planning? That's actually what we've been calling for. Where are your plans?
Yeah.
And the fact we haven't got them, I don't know. I don't want to be over suspicious, but it may mean there aren't any.
Yeah.
And that now has to be recreated.
And you also asked in terms of the staffing. Sorry, Flip, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Before you get to the staffing, just back to the cable. KDM apparently is quite set on the type of cable that they are using. They want a specific cable. A specific cable that if they do want to order it, they have to order at least 1,000 meters or 2,000 meters, depending who the supplier is. And at a manufacturing time of four to six a month. So if you know that you want that specific item, then surely you keep it in stock, especially when. And if you don't have that, why not go to an alternative? There are alternatives. They could have gone, get into your vehicle and literally get in my bucky and go and fetch cable, not a bucky, a truck, and go and fetch cable from suppliers in Durban that has got cable that would have suffered whatever the need at the time was. So we also understand that there are many positions open in KDM that are not being filled. They are struggling.
Yeah, this is a long-standing issue.
No, absolutely.
The lack of proper staffing, lack of skills, lack of management. And what worries me? I look at this and I'm hopeful because we've been we have been at this for a long time now. We are a critical stage now. NERSA is, you know, our final hope, but we are relying on the same people who have made this, created this problem, who have put this crisis on the table. We are relying on the same people to solve this problem. And the only possibility is if someone now plays an active watchdog oversight role. And then we are hearing now that the electricity losses are linked to corporate fraud, which has to be enabled within a department that is operating for ages. I mean, you can make a good money. I heard of a case, very long-standing hotel group here that went under. They were not even registered on the electricity grid as a client. They were basically, they had a bill of more than 25 million of outstanding electricity, which had they had been taking for almost a decade and never paid electricity. This is the type of corporate theft we're talking about. And if this is a big, you know, is a syndicate that's operating, you know, we've seen it on a national level with Eskom, and now we've got it on a smaller scale here in Kwadukuz. It seems like our electricity department is captured. But we are hoping now, you know, through the grace of, you know, civic organizations, DOCRA doing all they can, NERSA, that this will be turned around with the same people who have enabled this problem. Do you think that we have a chance?
We have to have a chance. We have to make it a chance. I do just want to mention, before we run out of time, Brian was mentioning about the new way that NERSA is going to be assessing and the tribunals that are coming with it. And they will be fining the municipality. And the fine, the way I look at it, will be money out of our tax money again. So this gives us more of a reason to keep tabs, because it's the taxpayers' money that will be paying the fines if KDM fails.
So who will be held accountable? Who will they fine? The municipal manager? The mayor? Who is going to be held accountable? The electricity director?
Well, we'd love that, wouldn't we? But not going to happen.
With our money. So he pays the fines with our money. What about, you know, you're looking at civic organizations that are actually taking the municipality to court, that, you know, they are actually going for private prosecution. Would this be something that DOCRA would look at?
No.
Or are we just jumping the gun?
No,
here?
I think we need to be very cautious about this, because I know that so many people just say, sue them, you know, just sue them. Sue them and they individually take their three cars and three houses away. Just do it. It's not that easy. Essentially, the only way that you can, in terms of the decided cases so far, that you can actually ask a public official to pay out of his own pocket for losses is where there is a direct and clear case of either fraud or gross negligence. And the burden of evidence is so high, it's almost impossible to do. How do you prosecute a public service, a servant, when he's in himself dependent on a number of other parts of the organization?
Yeah.
It's just a massive blame laying. But having said that, without wanting to be depressed about that, what you can do is you put such pressure on the local authority that it actually fires incompetent people and puts proper ones in.
Yeah.
And that goes back to the discussion we've already had. Oversight with teeth.
Yeah.
And that's what DOCRA is driving for all the time.
And this is what's going to be established now.
We're not sure it'll be established yet. We've established that the provision in law exists for it.
Okay.
Let's take it further and let's build on the incredibly good work that's being done by these working committees with KDM counterparts. Let's build on that spirit and see if we can elevate it into an embedded statutory, embedded group with statutory protection.
Yeah.
So it can't just be scrapped the next day if KDM suddenly wakes up and decides they're tired of Flip's face. You know, you can't do that.
Uh-huh. You know? And Flip, you are a thorn on their side from a technical perspective. Can I just say, what is the timeline? So the meeting ended yesterday. Did you all agree to come back at a certain day to update it, to update?
No.
To do updates? And if we are able to call for this order to be open to the public, how do we go about doing this? Because I think that's quite important.
The audit will only be made available via application, which will only after it's been presented to the NERSA executives, which will take a 30-day period after the VM audit, then, and it's approved, then we'll come back to KDM, and then only can we apply to have that information. And so we trust that we will get the outcome of it. But regardless, I think it's a step in the right direction where we get acknowledged, and we get a chance to highlight where we see all the issues. And again, we're here to work together.
I think the key thing about yesterday's meeting, which was, as I said, in the form of a mediation, is that we've established direct linkages with the key NERSA people.
Positive.
NERSA has now put requirements on KDM. So if KDM breaches those, they're breaching what NERSA's asked for. And with the direct linkages we've built, well, of course we're going to go back to NERSA.
Yeah.
That was agreed as part of the mediation, breached. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So, and that's a different scale of begging favors from the municipality.
Yeah. So now how do we monitor what's going to be happening to turn this around in KDM? Who is going to be looking at this department and seeing how they're changing things up to ensure that, I mean, not to be negative again, but we looked at the new budget for the year and there is no money to upgrade or, you know, build a new infrastructure. Already the new substation, the Dukuza substation, which was meant to come online this year to help alleviate the grid and possibly, you know, solve Belita's problem, that's been pushed now to the end of 2026. And the SCADA, you know, the SCADA system with the metering, that was also a proposal that they put on the table to improve the electricity. Flip, you know more about that as an expert on the SCADA. You said they've implemented it in eThekwini, but not here.
SCADA, unfortunately, is a big machine.
Okay.
And you have to start at a point and start implementing it. And it has, the start of it has happened. Now, it starts with at the substation, at the switch gear, and the relay has to be set up. There's a whole configuration. Then it goes further, and you have to have a control center. It is a big process, an expensive process. And I think we're still a way off from that. Everybody, I've heard some, SCADA is going to solve all the problems.
Well, they've been banding this word around. I didn't even know what it meant. I had to Google it. SCADA. Can you just quickly, for our listeners as well, who are very layman, technologically orientated?
Everybody now talks about your home that is automated, and I can switch my lights on by speaking to my phone.
Yes.
In principle, SCADA for the substations are what you do with your house automation. It is just you control it from a control center, and you are able to look at loads and control switch gear and just look at the whole infrastructure from a single point, and you don't have to drive out to a substation to go and open or close a breaker or see why something has tripped, or you can prevent and see, well, something is going to trip because of a load that is happening, and you can start switching things around. That is where we will eventually end, and that's where other municipalities are. eThekwini definitely are at that level.
And we're running out of time. Just one final note, Brian. Do you think that this is it? Do you think that we are going to turn things around in a municipality? What is your final word?
Okay, my final word is that we've made a step forward, but it's a long race.
Okay.
And we have to be realistic about that. But it's very positive steps forward. And the point I make it over and over again. DOCRA by itself cannot achieve anything as a bunch of people, volunteers, doing their best. They have to have the support of the community. It is only the momentum and the traction that the voice of the community gives to us that makes us listen to it all. If that voice goes weak, if it goes away, we will not be listened to. Then we can do nothing.
Yeah.
So I'm simply saying, get behind, even if you don't want to get behind DOCRA, but do get behind DOCRA anyway, because we're out in front on this. Get behind some type of organization where you can mobilize your voice and make it heard where it counts.
And Flip, your final thoughts.
It affects all of us. Yes, Brian. And thank you to the people that do support DOCRA. Thank you to the great team of DOCRA people that are doing all this work. And also thank you to KDM. I know we give them a lot of flack, but they are working under very difficult conditions, less too little staff and all of that that goes with it. But thank you to the community.
Yeah, and you know, just to wrap it up, it's clear, you know, that civil society, DOCRA, plays such a crucial role in holding our officials accountable. And it's only these organizations which show us they have the power for community action in demanding change. That's the only way things are going to change. And the louder voices, the harder it's going to become for those in power to ignore the need. for action. So please, everyone, consider joining your civic ratepayers group, your local ratepayers. DOCRA has the whole CODA, there's the Blythedale, the Stanger Civic Ratepayers Association. You need to sign up through these organizations on their website or social media. And it's critical because we cannot afford to be apathetic and let the officials carry on doing what they're doing. So join me again next week on Uncensored, where we'll continue to uncover the issues that impact our community.
Uncensored was brought to you proudly by IPSS Electronic Security.